Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you may or may not be aware, we have a redfish stock enhancement program, basically stocking of redfish underway here in Louisiana. We at Bayou Wild TV are documenting every step of it, and we've been following it, and we plan to follow it through, and you can watch it on some upcoming episodes, but that might be a while. So we're giving you a sneak preview with the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute Director Randy Parsina, who is spearheading this, and Randy joins us now. If you've got any questions about it, we invite you to text them to us at 504-260-187. Randy, good morning and good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Don. Wish it was a little later.
Well, you know, this is the time the fishermen are up and listening, and with the forecast, I think we're going to probably have a good audience to hear about it, and it's good news. Tell us about this redfish stocking program. Why was it deemed necessary, and why is it important?
Great question. You know, in my former life, I was the head of fisheries for the state. I worked for wildlife fisheries for 25 years. Again, as you know. And, you know, think about it, growing up fishing redfish trout here, we felt like, oh, man, this is bountiful. We have endless supply of everything in Louisiana, and particularly fish. But, you know, as our marsh deteriorates and the conditions aren't right, or there's more fresh water, what have you, we started noticing a trending downward in fish populations, and particularly redfish. Just like you called it before said, a lot of it has to do with too much fresh water. Maybe there's too much snow up north, too much river discharge. Lots of things cause it. So we never thought about it over the years till recently. And in fact, the funny part is every Gulf state has a marine saltwater fish stocking program except for Louisiana. And now, we stock bass and crappie and perch and all that, but never saltwater fish or redfish. And so anyway, at the most recent stock assessment, it's not looking good for redfish. And anecdotally, the anglers out there don't see it as well. Now, you know that natural cycles in the population, we have good years, we have bad years, but overall the trend seems to be going downward. So why wouldn't we be supplementing that stock with saltwater, you know, through a stock enhancement program like redfish? Think about it this way, Don, you know, if you have you pay your insurance on a house, right? You pay insurance for a reason, right? So if your house, if the roof flew off or caught on fire or whatever, got flooded in the storm, you couldn't come up with $200,000-$300,000 just laying around to go fix or rebuild or buy a new house. But you do have enough money to spend a little bit every year in insurance as an insurance policy for that. And that's how we see this redfish stock enhancement program. We hope that the natural cycles in the populations will bring them back. We'll have a lot of good redfish. But if not, on the off years, we're constantly releasing fish. In the fishery release, we're releasing them directly into the marsh. They're 2 to 3 inches. They're going right into the marsh. They have a good chance to survive. The natural populations, as you know, they're spawned offshore, and we're dependent on Mother Nature to blow them in and get into the marsh and be safe. So you could have a year where you don't have a lot of good, steady southeast winds pushing the fish in. Maybe it's because of hurricanes. Maybe it's because of all sorts of different reasons, or too much fresh water coming out of the river, and it blows those fish away. Now, those eggs may go to another state. They may stay offshore. The salinity is too low. They sink into the mud and die. So we think there's a big need for a stock enhancement program. Maybe we don't have to release 10 million fish every year, but we need to be releasing some fish every year. Get this program up and running and have that insurance policy for the future.
All right, Randy, when we come back, while this is groundbreaking for Louisiana, it has been done by our Gulf Coast neighbors in Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. I want you to talk about what successes they've enjoyed, and also we'll get to the meat of our plan, how it's going to work, what it's all about. We're talking with Randy Pacina, director of the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, former Office of Fishery guy with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and we'll be back to continue this conversation right after this. All right, Louisiana's redfish stocking program is underway. We're talking with Randy Pacina, who is with the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, former Office of Fishery official with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and we're going to get to the meat of the plan. But first, we've got to pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And if you got a question or comment, we've got a few of them coming in. You can text us to us at 504-260-1870, and maybe you'll have some more comments after you hear about the plan. Randy, we mentioned Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida have done hatchery-based stockings. How has it proven out for them?
Well, again, another good question. So, you know, traditionally, all these fish that are released had to be marked by some physical marker. And it makes it hard to identify those fish. So historically, the fish being released from a hatchery and then being recaptured through some sort of monitoring program, you know, it could be anywhere from 1 to 5, 6, 7% of the fish released or captured. In other words, they make it to the fishery. So when Louisiana's redfish size number was 16, that's when I say make it to the fishery, that means they make it to 16 inches, or now it's 18 inches, I guess. So, but there's new technology out there now, and that's what really speared us up to start this program in Louisiana using the new genetic technology. So now you see, not to get in the weeds on that, but now you see programs all across the country, California, South Carolina, Texas, Florida, where with the genetic marker, you're seeing a real benefit to releasing the fish, and some words up to 10, 20, 25%. So it's a genetic marker. Every fish is has a unique genetic code. So we take the genetic information from the broodstock fish, the fish that we capture to act as the parent fish, and then all the fish we sample out in the wild, we can compare it to the broodstock to see if they're offspring. And with this program, we can actually see their children or the grandchildren of the offspring. So now you see most programs are, 24% of the fish in the wild population have their origins from the hatchery. That's pretty significant. Think about it. Of the billions and billions of hatch eggs in the natural spawn, I can promise you that number, it isn't 1% that make it to the, make it to the hatchery size, make it to that 16, 18 inch fish.
Well, I got to tell you that, I was going to say that genetic technology now has really made the evaluation so much more accurate, where you can really see the results of your program. If you would, Randy, let's get into the plan itself. Tell us how the plan has started, what's been done so far, and what's coming down for the future.
Well, again, Don, we thought it was a good idea with this new technology out there to be able to demonstrate that it's not, it's not wasting money in the water, that it's a good deal and we should do this. So, you know, I had retired from the state in 2016. And so about 2 years ago, I kind of went to visit with David Cressall in the CCA. I said, David, let's do this program. The technology's here to do it. I got the time to do it. So we started visiting the department, and we finally talked them into giving us a pilot permit to go out and do something, which we got towards the end of Governor Edwards' regime. And now with the new regime, Governor Landry, they've been super, super supportive of this program. So we actually finally got out this fall, and we collected our brood stock. You know, we collected some of our first fish from east and west of the river at the CCA Ride the Bull Kayak Tournament. this past fall, and then I've gone back out a couple times to Grand Island, Venice, and supplemented some fish. So we have 11 broodstock of parrotfish at the hatchery in Mississippi, University of Southern Mississippi. Now, they have to go through a 150-day conditioning program, and that's where the fish are tricked into believing it's fall again, and so they'll be primed to spawn and reproduce. And that should happen at the end of April of this year. At that point, it'll take about 2 months, maybe three, for those fish to get, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches. And then we'll take the fish, bring them back to Louisiana, and release them. What we plan to do for this first release, which is only going to be 100,000 fish for the pilot study, is to release some in the Wrigley's, release some in Grand Isle, and release some over in Lake Charles to kind of spread it out.
Very good. Now, I saw those fish over at the in Ocean Springs at the Mississippi Hatchery, and they looked very healthy and very good. When should we expect these fish to be mature enough to where people are catching them, and how would you complete that genetic testing to ensure that these were, in fact, some of the fish that were hatched and released?
So the fish we released them this summer. It'll be a year. In a year, they'll hit the fishery. You know, there'll be that 18 inches that where somebody could actually catch one of them. The other good part, not only the advancement in the technology to be able to identify these fish, but the department under Governor Landry has dedicated to doing the monitoring for us. And that's a big deal. As you know, 12 months out of the year, Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fisheries has sampling teams out there pulling gill nets and trammel nets and seines. So from the get-go, from the first release of our fish, LDWF will be pulling fish. And what they do is they cut a fin clip, just a little piece of the fin. They put it in a vial with some alcohol, and they send it to Southeastern University here in Hammond. And that's where our genetic team is, and they'll start testing those fish to see if they wild fish or they hatchery raised fish.
Very good, Randy. We're going to take a break here, and we come back. I was really impressed with both the personnel and the facility there in Ocean Springs at Mississippi's Hatchery. I want you to explain to people why, if you can, why there is no fish hatchery here in Louisiana when our neighbors to the east and west both have those. If you got a question or a comment, you can text me at 504-260-1870. We're talking reloading the redfish in Louisiana waters. It's coming. We'll be right back after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. If you're just getting up and tuned in, we've been talking with Randy Pacina of RFRI. We're talking about Louisiana's first ever stocking program, and the broodstock have been captured. They've been brought to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to their fish hatchery, where they will be tricked into spawning sometime in April. Those broodstock, those fingerlings, will be transported back here to Louisiana. They're also genetically tagged. They'll be released in the Wrigley's, Grand Isle, and Lake Calcasieu areas, and hopefully we'll get some similar results to what has been done and enjoyed by Texas and Mississippi and other states. As I mentioned, Randy, I was really impressed with that Ocean Springs facility. They got some really great people over there, and they've got some great resources. As I recall, we had plans and, I believe, funding to create a Louisiana hatchery. What happened to that?
That's right. If you remember, I think 2014, you know, after the BP oil spill, there was money available. And at the time, Gary Graves was the head of CPRA, and he made $25 million available to Wildlife Fisheries to build a hatchery. We were going to build it over in the Cameron, Calcasieu area. And then the administrations change. You know, politics sometimes gets involved in things, unfortunately. And when the administrations change, the governors change, they wanted to do something else with the money, and they moved it to another program.
Any idea on when that idea may come back again? Because obviously this is something that we are going to need, and Louisiana deserves it. We should have that.
Well, I can tell you, this administration released a million dollar grant for aquaculture, in particularly finfish aquaculture. And a company, Dr. Stephen Pollock, has a small oyster hatchery at the LSU Innovation Park, and he won the grant, and I've been communicating with him, and he's going to move forward to do exclusively stock enhancement finfish raising or redfish. And so I think he just signed all the paperwork in January, and he's starting to retool and buy all the equipment. So maybe, I'm not exactly sure this is his timeline, but we think easily next year or within 2 years, we can have a Louisiana hatchery again. Well, not again, but for the first time producing our own redfish.
That would be fantastic, and please keep us apprised of that. Randy, fishermen will be happy to hear that there's not one red cent coming from their pockets for this program, but it does take an awful lot of funding. You have found some very valuable supporters, and you might want to talk about a little bit of a debt of gratitude fishermen owe to them for providing the funding to do this project.
Absolutely. When we started first pushing this, you know, the Department of Wildlife Fisheries has a budget, and they just didn't have the budget in place, and they were going through some rough times. Just remember, they had to do a relicensing structure to make some money. And I was very anxious to get the permit and get the program going, because I knew the groundswell was great out there to get this done. And so we pledged that, look, if they help us with the monitoring and they help us do everything they can, get us the permit, support us, we will fundraise and make this happen. Of course, right away, you know, RFRI and its donors put up a bunch of money. CCA Louisiana was first in line to participate, and they are my number one partner in this project. Air Products also came through with a big donation. Louisiana Natural Gas came through. AFCO, American Fish and Tackle Company, Louisiana Charter Association. A lot of groups have stood up, West Bank Fishing. A lot of groups have stood up and made some significant donations, and we need more. Look, the more money we raise, the more fish we can release, and that's the bottom line.
So if we have someone that's listening, business personnel especially, that may be interested in sponsoring and contributing to this program or the building of the fish hatchery or whatever, and volunteers, I guess you can never get enough volunteers, how can they contact someone?
Don, they can always call me or go to our website, which is pretty easy. It's rfri.net, rfri.net. There's a page on the website devoted to the stock enhancement, the redfish stock enhancement program. There's also ways to donate through the website. You just press the button, donate here. My phone number is on the website as well. It's 504-415-7186, 504-415-7186. They can call or text me. They can go to the website, donate directly. Or they can get the contact information off the website and go to the website and read about the updates on the program.
Yeah, they're welcome to contact me because I have all of your information. I'll be happy to put them in touch with you if they're driving and didn't get a chance to jot down those numbers. Randy, this is very exciting. I tell you, we're really enjoying it at Bayou Wild TV, tracking it, and I can't wait till we air the episodes showing the whole process of capturing and spawning the fish and then returning them to the other fish waters. And then even more exciting of that is the first day when we start seeing some very positive results from this program. And I want to thank you for your hard work and your involvement in spearheading this program. You've done an excellent job.
Well, thank you, Don. I enjoy it. It's always a pleasure working with you and chatting. So thanks for having us on.
All right. Thanks again, Randy. We'll talk next time.
Okay. Take care.
There he goes, Randy Pocino with the RFRI.